From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells.
Well, the science of nutrient absorption is one of the greatest challenges in nutrition, with all the focus normally on weight loss. The inability to put on weight often gets overlooked. Yet it's tied to one of the most grave health challenges, which is malabsorption. Today we speak with CEO and co-founder of EnviroHealth, Jim O'Connell, who will talk about how digestive diseases, inflammation, aging, even surgery or trauma or injury, they're all major causes of malabsorption, and how his company, EnviroHealth, and what they're doing to advance the science and technology of medical nutrition. Jim O'Connell, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Let's set the stage for what we usually never hear about, because we are a nation with an obesity epidemic. We normally talk about how to lose weight, not how to put it on. How big is the problem?
It's actually quite a significant problem with massive unmet need. To start with, fat is our most important source of calories, yet it's the most difficult nutrient to process and absorb. And this is a critical issue for the one in five people that have a digestive disease, or really anyone with unintentional weight loss or difficulty gaining weight. It all comes down to not being able to absorb enough calories from food. This causes developmental issues in children, including stunted growth, failure to thrive, delay in puberty. Children that fall behind on the growth curve do not get that growth back, so it's important to address. In adults, malabsorption causes chronic malnutrition. And perhaps most importantly, anybody that is low BMI has an increased risk of complication and death in every single disease area. So this is extremely important to focus on and to treat.
When you say BMI, body mass index, if you have a low body mass index, is that right?
That's absolutely correct. If your low body mass index, if you have trouble absorbing enough fat, then it absolutely makes it hard to maintain weight, and you often have unintentional weight loss.
And you say that it's about 1.5 billion people, roughly 20% of the world's population. I think we're currently at about 7.7 billion people. What percentage of those people have cystic fibrosis?
So cystic fibrosis is one of the digestive diseases. I think there are over 250 rare diseases that are encompassed within that. So cystic fibrosis is about 70,000 patients worldwide. But again, digestive diseases overall encompass many other conditions. The pancreas and the liver are both needed to effectively digest and package fats. And so, again, this is quite a common problem that will touch almost everybody directly or indirectly at some point in their life. It's not just digestive diseases, but even as we age, digestion can become less efficient. So an estimated 10% of everybody over age 65 develops frailty syndrome, which is characterized primarily by unintentional weight loss. And so again, whatever the cause of the malabsorption is, that's really why we were founded and what we are addressing with our product and our technology.
And your product and technology is something relatively new. I remember years ago that my mother used to take Ensure to try to boost her caloric intake and trying to put weight on, but it never really seemed to work. Is this something which is new and different?
Yes, it is new. And in fact, going back to, I think, all of those caloric beverages, that was really the last major innovation in this area, which was maybe 20 or 30 years ago. But yes, in our technology is new. It relies on a unique structured lipid. And it enables the absorption of the good, healthy, needed long-chain fats without requiring any digestion. And that makes it different than anything else on the market. It has been extensively tested, including in a large NIH-funded clinical study, and it was designed to help people where these other products were not effective. The product itself, Incala, which again we launched in November, it's a powder. It's made of plant-based components, and it can be mixed in a variety of foods and beverages, whatever somebody may feel like eating or drinking.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, our guest is Jim O'Connell. He's the CEO and co-founder of Envira Health. It's a company that deals with absorption of our nutrients and how to battle unintentional weight loss. Jim, I'm wondering, can we go back to the digestive diseases? Because, well, although cystic fibrosis is not normally thought of as a digestive disease, it's more of a pulmonary issue, I believe. It manifests itself in creating digestive issues. But let's talk about some of the other digestive issues. I'm thinking, you know, there's so much celiac going on in the world right now, the need to be gluten-free. What others?
Oh, so the NIH has a broad categorization of digestive diseases, and you're right about cystic fibrosis. It is often characterized as a respiratory disease, but that same excess mucus that coats the lungs also coats the GI tract and makes it difficult to, again, process and absorb fats. There are many conditions where it results in an enzyme deficiency. We have over 1,300 enzymes in our body, and if you're deficient in one of those, it can lead to a dangerous buildup of that substance. So really this whole category of medical foods was created to help people with these digestive diseases where again, a specially formulated food can avoid that substance that the person can't digest and provide an alternative for them. We are targeting more the issues with fat absorption broadly. Mm-hmm. And in the data that we've generated, we also realized something interesting, which was that not only does Incala deliver the needed fats that anybody with malabsorption struggles with, but it also helps and improve other nutrients and fats in meals they're eating. So it does work in different ways that can help across all of these different digestive conditions.
You know, when we were all young, there was no such thing as probiotics and papaya enzymes to take after your meal. And I'm wondering the proliferation of both intestinal diseases as well, or digestive diseases, as well as, you know, these products that are on the market. What is going on with our nutrients that is, you know, making the whole system not function?
Well, so it's a great question. And, you know, it's interesting. This whole concept of food as medicine is closely aligned with the entire history of medicine. Hippocrates is credited with saying, "Let thy food be thy medicine." And he lived around 400 BC as a reference point. But there always has been this kind of focus where, plants have therapeutic benefits, and a lot of even existing drugs are still based on plants. Aspirin, morphine, caffeine are examples. I think the emergence of more the microbiome and gut health is this realization of how important gut health is overall, and especially around ensuring that the proper nutrients are absorbed. I think part of the challenge is that these studies are really difficult to run. Nutritional studies historically have had to be very large. They take a lot of time often to measure the express goal you're looking for, and it's just led to a lot of inconsistency and variability in the results. So I do think that over the last few decades, whereas there may have been, you know, a lot of inconsistency and confusion, you know, that has changed a lot over the last 20 years. People care now about the labels on their food they're eating. I think physicians have absolutely embraced the importance of nutrition. You know, it may not be a silver bullet in treating a disease, but it can certainly help in the management of it. And when you look at, you know, the good, healthy, long-chain fatty acids, omega-3s and 6s, these have proven therapeutic benefits. There is a drug recently launched, which is an omega-3 fatty acid. You know, the technical term, I believe, is fish oil, but, you know, it showed in a large clinical study that it could reduce the incidence of cardiovascular events, stroke, death, heart attacks, by 26%. That is real data. That's a magnificent benefit.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So the human body has roughly 30 trillion human cells, you know, depending upon what numbers you believe, because there's kind of a range as you take a look online. And our non-human half, which is bacteria cells, is roughly 30 or 40 trillion bacteria. So we're talking about, or you were just mentioning a little while ago, about gut health. So how does our non-human half, you know, what role are they playing in absorption or malabsorption?
Sure. So I think when you go back to the steps of digestion, you know, again, first and foremost, you have to have the pancreas and the liver functioning properly. A breakdown in either one will not allow the fat to be digested and absorbed. And as that passes through the body, it actually can aggravate GI symptoms, gastrointestinal tract. It can cause bloating. It can cause gas, abdominal pain, greasy stool. Surgical interventions, anytime you have surgery along your digestive tract, if you have permanent removal of tissue, that will forever impair your body's ability to properly digest and absorb fats. So I think that again, this focus on gut health encompasses quite a few causes. What we're excited about with Incala is, you know, we've seen that it can help address all causes. So I think a lot of times people focus in maybe on one area, but again, you need to be able to have the fats get into the right package to get absorbed by the intestine. We do that if that real estate is shortened, if you have part of your intestinal tract removed. Again, that is a big contributor to malabsorption. We help that because you don't need real estate. We provide fats in this you know, highly absorbable source, and then we improve the absorption of the other fats and nutrients in the meal. So again, whatever condition somebody may have, whether it's a breakdown maybe of their bacterial ecosystem working and helping with the absorption, whether it's the removal of tissue, whether it's even GI symptoms that might be causing them discomfort. Early customers of ours reported that they saw immediate improvement in their GI symptoms. We're confident that Incala can help.
And there was a trial where 110 patients with CF, cystic fibrosis, added Incala to their food for 1 year. How did that trial go? How much weight did they gain on average? And did that bring them to the proper BMI?
Oh, sure. So that study was instrumental, I'd say, in forming our company and really the confidence that the technology needed to be moved forward. The clinician that led that study was the founder of Envara Health. Her name is Dr. Virginia Stalling. She's a world expert in clinical nutrition and GI health. And she actually designed that study to replicate a biotech study. It used the same primary clinical endpoint as the leading biotechnology treatment, which is replacement enzymes. Again, these nutritional studies are really, really challenging to run. And so she designed this to be a rigorous study. Children and adolescents that had cystic fibrosis were the subjects of the study. They tried either the product Incala or they got normal fats. And after 12 months, as Dr. Stallings reviewed the data, she was impressed by a few things. first, the fats in the powder were absorbed exactly as expected, so that worked, and that was exciting. Unexpectedly, though, she saw evidence that the subjects were absorbing these other fats in the meals that they were eating, so it created this halo effect and provided a benefit for taking it multiple times a day. And lastly, as she did more work on the data, she found something really striking, which was that those that had average to low BMI, given normal fats, calories, they had no response at all to them. And these were the people that needed calories the most. But give them fats, they were unresponsive. Given the structured lipid in Incala, however, they were the biggest responders in the study. So as she was working on all this and publishing her papers, I met her, and she told me she thought that this represented the biggest advancement in her field in decades, and that was what I needed to hear. We started the company, and that's taken us to where we are today.
Wow, that's fascinating. I'm wondering, Jim, if we can go over, we talked about, well, when John brought up the insure, where if you had a hard time putting on weight, then you used to go to what were just added calories. And then we find that is only going to serve you until, you know, a certain point. And now we're in this phase, as you say, of getting the long chain fatty acids. It's more about how you absorb, not how you pack on calories. And you mentioned the omega-3s in fish oil, and it seems as though those products have been around for a while. The question I have is, you know, you're always told that, oh, don't buy that fish oil because that's rancid, and don't buy that one, but buy my product because, you know, I have the purest and the truest fish oil. How does the field of biotech and biochemistry serve to sort of eliminate those kinds of questions where we know that we're just going to have products that are going to help?
Sure, I'm glad you brought that up. Maybe to start with the caloric beverages that, again, have been, you know, kind of the standard. You know, many of these beverages are made of a couple things, right? Water, vegetable oil, sugar, and a little bit of protein. They utilize, the vegetable oil utilizes what are called medium chain triglycerides, or MCTs, as a primary fat source. These are unhealthy fats. That said, they do offer a source of some calories for people that suffer from malabsorption. So I mentioned before that was the last major innovation 20, 30 years ago. That was really what kind of drove that, was this observation that people that couldn't take in the needed long-chain fats, they could at least substitute it with these medium-chain triglycerides. Now, that said, MCTs have a number of deficiencies. They don't offer the same density of calories. They don't offer as many calories. They are high in saturated fats and actually increase cardiovascular risks. They can impair the absorption of nutrients, and they're often sourced from palm oil and coconut oil, which have negative environmental impact. So again, despite this is still pretty much the only option out there. And people taking them, there are still a number of people that have, again, the stunted growth, the developmental issues, the chronic malnutrition persists despite them. So what we have really, we believe, can replace them, replace these MCTs with a superior source of, again, the good, healthy, needed long-chain fats. And to then dive into the observation about, well, what about the quality maybe, or the purity levels, or more the biotech approach to maybe a supplement. You know, marketing has been extremely effective in the food industry. And again, I think, you know, it's something where clinical data is so hard to generate that many people really haven't been successful going down that path. We always will lead with clinical data. That is absolutely core to what we do. And the people that we're educating, the clinical dietitians that have to care for patients with severe malabsorption, this is what is important to them. Marketing doesn't matter. You know, they don't have time to read volumes of literature and claims on products. They just care about data, about how did it do in a rigorous, well-designed clinical study. And I think that is what really has been lacking overall. There are a lot of supplements out there, but again, it's hard to understand really what's in them, the purity level, for the therapeutic fish oil that I mentioned, it is a highly purified form of this omega-3 acid. Normally supplements don't have quite that purity level, and they may have a lot of other things in it. So again, I think that inconsistent result can matter. And lastly, fatty acids are a bit unusual because, again, with the prevalence of malabsorption, it directly impairs your ability to kind of absorb these. And so for most people, the absorption of fatty acids has high variability. You can't ensure the same level is absorbed consistently, across a broad population. So again, that's really one of the challenges that we had in when Dr. Stallings designed the study. She paid very close attention to making sure that again, people with malabsorption were on this, and that's where we saw such a difference in responses, and really helped the performance of our structured lipid stand out.
Okay, so I'm starting to understand this, and I'm wondering, if you're new to the world of malabsorption, so say you've recently had surgery, or in the case of someone I know, recently was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, and that seemed, although it might seem unrelated to digestive issues, malabsorption has taken place in this one particular case of a friend of mine with polymyalgia rheumatica. Even though this person's taking prednisone and you normally gain weight with prednisone, he just keeps losing and losing and losing weight. So new to the world of malabsorption, what tips do you have for those kinds of people?
Sure. So you're absolutely right that inflammation really along the GI tract does impair the absorption of fat. And more so, it aggravates GI symptoms. So it makes it more challenging for somebody to eat. It can make the process unpleasant. And again, any kind of inflammation is another major contributor to malabsorption. So I'd say that for people that are new to this area, and it is highly prevalent. I began to realize just how prevalent when I first started meeting with investors, to raise our initial funding. And, people that I met with, whether it was a child that had Crohn's disease or, again, a problem with inflammation, as you just mentioned, whether it may be a close friend that had gone through cancer treatment or a parent that was just losing weight. And maybe they were more selective about what they were eating. Maybe digestion just wasn't as efficient. But it seemed like almost everyone that I met with had a connection in some way to the issue of malabsorption. So what's probably important to take into account are, there are certain foods that will aggravate the GI symptoms, and you want to avoid those, first and foremost. And I think people are, they know their body well, and I think very quickly they can learn what maybe irritates their system and what doesn't. Often the first thing that a clinical dietitian will recommend is simply eat more calories to try to overcompensate for that malabsorption that's occurring. But again, that can be really challenging. People that have struggle the most with malabsorption, sometimes you're eating 4,000, 5,000 calories a day and still aren't absorbing enough. They have to undergo psychological counseling to try to learn to overcome the strong signals their bodies are sending, which is that they're full and to stop eating. So there are a lot of complications that it can cause. I think there is much greater appreciation now on having the long chain fats and avoiding these the vegetable oils, as I mentioned, the products that have high amounts of sugar that are added to it. And, for a new product like Incala, what some of the attributes that stood out to early customers of ours is that it is plant-based. There is no additional sugar added. It can mix easily into other foods and beverages, and so it doesn't take up that much space. You know, one of the issues with the shakes that you drink, the prepackaged beverages, you know, there's a lot of water. It induces satiety, or it makes you feel filled up. So it is important to have something that is maybe nutrient dense and calorically dense and is easy to work with. We hear that from everybody, from, you know, the clinicians we meet with to educate about our product. It's first and foremost, it has to be easy for their patients to use and their caregivers to know how to mix it, how to put it in. And, you know, that we take feedback very seriously. And, you know, as people post ideas, recipes, suggestions for us, we continue to look at ways that we can make the product even better for them.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we are speaking with Jim O'Connell, CEO and co-founder of Invera Health. A company deals with roughly 1.5 billion people around the globe who deal with unintentional weight loss and inadequate absorption or malabsorption. Jim, I am curious, when we talk about different absorption rates, do circadian rhythms play any role in absorption rates?
So, I think absorption can be impacted by a variety of conditions. You know, it's as an example, injury, stress, trauma, it can slow or even temporarily halt your digestive efficiency. So believe it or not, hospitals in the U.S. have a huge problem with malnutrition. Despite the level of care that they can provide for their patients, Aspen, a nutritional nonprofit organization, estimates that malnutrition alone costs U.S. hospitals over $42 billion annually. Now, I haven't seen anything directly tying it to, you know, the sleep cycle or the circadian cycle. But, you know, I do think that if your body is under stress, if you're in an uncomfortable environment, it certainly can impact your sleep. That probably is happening often in hospitals. But you know, again, there are a number of causes. Sometimes they can be genetics, a disease you're born with it. Sometimes it can develop over time. You know, diabetes often, you know, as the pancreas is destroyed and the production of insulin is impaired, it can be that the production of enzymes also can be impaired. You know, it can be that somebody just doesn't feel like eating as much. And again, as we age, that could be what happens, or digestive efficiency decreases. So there are a number of causes that both can be, you know, genetic, hereditary, or, you know, acute and temporary. I'm a parent, and I think most parents know that, you know, as they have kids and the child may have a you know, some kind of virus or GI condition. If vomiting happens, you know, you get you're very sensitive about, you know, making sure that your child is developing and has the proper nutrition. And you know, when something like that happens, that might lead them to lose some weight or at least not maintain, you know, the desired weight gain goals, that can cause you to panic. I think that's very common. You know, and I ran out to the grocery store and bought Pedialyte, I think. But again, all of these products are, you know, sugar rich. You know, they do have the vegetable oils, and there just isn't really a good option out there. And again, that was all part of the inspiration behind the product Incala and us coming together to form our company Invera Health.
And Incala is in powdered form?
That's right. Incala is in powdered form, all plant-based components, and again, easy to mix into foods and beverages. So even though we're targeting health indications, you know, we really are approaching it with the same, I guess, level of care that a consumer product has, and that we really do want it to be easy to use. We don't want people to look at it as a burden. And again, it was absolutely designed for long-term use, knowing that it's hard to get a child to take a product like this multiple times a day for an extended period. So we do try to make it as easy as possible for parents to work with.
Yes, and parents need to get involved in this, of course, because with cystic fibrosis, if a child has a choice of eating grapes, which has a lot of water in it, versus almonds or something like that. So they need to try to have more nutrient-dense food for their children, as well as having a product like Encala. Is that correct?
It is in that, you know, it's both calorically dense foods are important, as well as good, healthy nutrients that accompany them. So it's both the quantity and the quality that are important. And I think historically, there's just been a focus on quality and, or I'm sorry, on the quantity. And calories are cheap. Sugar is cheap. Vegetable oil is cheap. The polyunsaturated fatty acids, the good, healthy, long-chain fats, you know, although this is common in food components that everybody has at home, they're very sensitive to oxidation and degradation and spoilage. And so the first thing the food industry tends to do is saturate these fats and remove the, you know, a lot of the health benefit to them. So again, I do think that in general, right, it's finding what works and all, you know, natural foods are good options, but it's really avoiding maybe the ultra packaged types of foods where, you know, again, maybe the benefits have been removed during the manufacturing process. You know, maybe they were just loaded with sugar. You know, it's only been the last 10, 20 years where I think there's been this realization of how detrimental sugar can be. But again, the focus for people that really struggled with absorption issues was always quantity, and now it's really shifting to quality as well.
Jim O'Connell is the CEO and co-founder of Envira Health. Very interesting conversation. EnviraHealth.com. It's E-N-V-A-R-A health.com. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today on Cool Science Radio.
I was really excited to join you. Thank you for having me again.
Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us, give us a 5, and leave us a comment.
Take us along on your next adventure to the moon.
If you have any story ideas, please let us know at coolscienceradio@kpcw.org.
Thanks for listening, and hey, tune in next week.